Underwater city of Euclidea, 400 feet below the surface of the South Pacific Ocean, Mrs. Gregory and her daughter Joan find themselves in a strange and terrifying situation. One of the smaller rooms in the quarters assigned to them by the Euclideans has been lined with a soundproof Euclidean cloth to allow them to talk in privacy. Jerry and Captain Bradford were in this small room discussing plans for the possible use of homing pigeons in their escape when the time comes to capture the city. When luncheon is served, Joan calls to the conspirators, but they don't answer. Mrs. Gregory rushes to Joan's side. The room is empty.
But, Joan, there's no way to get out of this little room.
I think you are mistaken, Mother.
But these walls are solid steel behind this cloth.
Granted. Nevertheless, Jerry and the captain are not in here now.
Well, where did they go?
That we cannot determine.
Oh, Joan, it turns out I think you are the most exasperating child I've ever known.
I am sorry, Mother.
Oh, forgive me, Joan. I didn't mean that, really. But all of this disappearing and jumping around noiselessly from place to place is just a little too much for me.
I suppose you do find it disturbing, but I have lived so long with the Euclideans that such actions are perfectly natural to me.
Well, they're not natural to me. Jerry and Tex have disappeared, and we're going to do something about it.
What can you suggest?
We'll have to look for them, Joan.
I am quite willing to search, but it will be a foolish effort. We know that the construction of this room is solid steel.
Nevertheless, Tex and Jerry got out of this room.
And the means of exit is certainly closed to us.
Oh, I suppose it's hopeless. Like everything else that happens around here, we might as well sit quietly and wait for the Euclideans to bring the answer to us.
I think it would be far more sensible to partake of our lunch while we are waiting.
You're right, dear. We must eat.
Hey, Tex, here's the door.
Jerry!
That door wasn't here a minute ago.
And the captain!
Oh, sure, sir.
But where have you been?
We haven't been any place but right in this little room.
Captain, Mother, and I have just looked in this room, and you were not here.
Well, you can see that we're here now, and we never did go anyplace.
Tex. Just what is this? Joan and I felt all over the walls of this room. We couldn't find a possible opening, and yet you disappeared, and the room was empty.
Now, wait a minute, Pat. Don't get excited. There's something mighty funny going on here. Jerry and I were talking in this small closet, surrounded by this Euclidean cloth. When we tried to come out, the door was gone, but we never left the room.
The explanation is quite simple, I believe.
Well, then let's have it. Mrs. Gregory looks like she's just seen a ghost.
And I am a little upset, Jerry.
What's your idea, Joan?
It could be only one thing. An optical illusion created by an additional partition dropped through the room.
That could have been easily enough done, but that means that we haven't the privacy we counted on.
I'll say it does. We're only kidding ourselves about being able to talk in that little room.
And if the Euclideans have overheard you, all of your plans about using the home...
Careful, Pat.
Yes, Mother. It is not wise to speak too freely now. I think we may safely feel that this soundproof cloth has served its purpose.
I hope you're right.
So do I. But I don't feel any too happy about it.
I think we'd better eat while we have a chance. Remember that it'll be 6 o'clock tonight before they push the next meal up through the floor at us.
Hey, look, we're too late. The table's starting to go back down through the floor.
We are indeed too late.
And I was hungry, too.
Well, maybe I can catch something off the table before it gets down below the floor.
Be careful, Jerry. That machinery must be very powerful.
Too late, Jerry. It's no use.
Well, you're right. Well, there went our lunch.
I feel it's all my fault. If I hadn't been so frightened, Joan would have had sense enough to eat while the food was here.
Do not feel badly, Mother. It will not hurt any of us to do without this one meal.
That's what you think. I'll bet I shrink all up before dinner.
Yeah, I guess you can stand it, son. Well, now that we're all together again, what have we accomplished? Let's sit down and talk it over.
Well, someone has been in this apartment. Someone has been here and has made several changes since our last meal.
Well, we've been out of it since breakfast. I guess they've had plenty of chance to do anything they liked in here. But I don't see where anything's changed.
Neither do I.
I believe I know what you mean, Mother. Our steps no longer make any sound, and these metal chairs move noiselessly along the floor.
Joan, that's it.
Golly, they've been in here and put that soundproof paint all over everything.
Looks like it, but why should they do that?
You will find your radio reception much clearer in a soundproof room.
Daly's.
Yes, but where are these boys coming from?
From the radio receiver installed in your apartment.
So, we're going to have a radio now. Where is it?
In the wall, near the exit to the main corridor.
Yeah, look. I see it now.
I see a square of steel that appears to be slightly newer than the rest of the wall.
That is the radio installation. You will find the switch in the wall panel. After I am through addressing you, you may use this equipment at your pleasure. However, at this time, you will be prepared to give your attention to a broadcast originating in the United States.
Gee, news from home.
Oh, it'll certainly sound good to hear someone who speaks as we do.
Wait a minute, Pat. These Euclideans are so anxious to have us hear this broadcast. I have an idea that we're not going to like it any too well.
You are correct, Captain Bradford. It is entirely possible that this broadcast will contain material which may prove distasteful to you. Nevertheless, it will also contain information which should make your present position quite clear to you.
How soon does all this happen?
I am speaking to you from the central communication chamber in the heart of Euclidea. Before me is a chronometer perfectly synchronized with the time employed on your radio station. In a few seconds, I will connect your receiver with our main apparatus, and you may listen directly to a news broadcast originating in Los Angeles. The guest of honor is your former assistant, Mr. Johnson.
Johnson? Mother, you're Mr. Johnson.
But what is he doing on a radio news program?
Silence. In less than 20 seconds, you will hear the answer for yourself.
Peck, what is this?
I don't know any more about it than you do, Pat. But I think we'd better sit still and listen.
That is an excellent suggestion, Captain.
It's a good idea, too.
Quiet, everybody.
At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you our regular meeting with an outstanding figure in the news of the week. The past week has been a lively one in the world of news, with events crowding each other out of the way for a place on page one. But we've chosen as the most interesting single news item of the week the story of the Gregory expedition to the South Seas and the mysterious disappearance of the so-called Magic Island.
Gee,
we're fortunate in having with us in the studio today a man who has been closely associated with Mrs. Patricia Gregory for several years, one of her most able lieutenants, and the man who directed the rescue of the Gregory party on two previous attempts to escape from the influence of the Magic Island, Mr. Clyde Johnson. Will you come in, please, Mr. Johnson, and allow us to ask you a few questions?
Yes, for the sake of the general interest in this cruise, I'll be glad to offer such news as I have.
Well, Mr. Johnson, your attitude suggests that your news isn't going to be very pleasant.
Indeed it isn't. On the contrary, I know what I have to say will strike deeply into the hearts of the thousands who have followed so sympathetically Mrs. Gregory's search for her long-lost little girl.
If you'll allow me, Mr. Johnson, I'd like to guide the path of this interview, not through any desire to interfere with your freedom in telling your story, but rather to help you extract a brief yet complete picture from the whole story.
Well, I wish you would do just that. I feel that there's so much to be told. Well, I just don't know where to start it.
But suppose we start with the beginning of the first cruise to this island.
Well, Mrs. Gregory and Captain Tex Bradford, who was in charge of all her travels and cruises, had heard over shortwave radio that her long-lost little girl, Joan, might be found on a strange island. The position of the island was given accurately.
That position was 29 degrees south, 124 degrees, 30 minutes west, was it not?
It was. A young amateur radio operator named Jerry Hall talked himself into the trip, and they sailed on Mrs. Gregory's yacht with a crew of two, an old sea captain, John Craig, and a Scotch engineer, Angus MacLeod. They had no trouble finding the island, though it was certainly a weird place.
The island was artificial, wasn't it?
That's right. And in the complete description I shall give the news agencies, you'll find the dimensions. But for our purposes today, why, I'd say that it's enough to... pardon me. The island proved to be an unnatural place. Home of a colony of brilliant, though perhaps slightly mad scientists, who have developed many things far beyond our world.
And the Gregory party successfully escaped from this island after finding Mrs. Gregory's little girl living there.
Yes. They were caught and returned on their first attempt. But the second time, they helped themselves to one of the submarines belonging to the scientists, and they reached Los Angeles in safety.
What isn't clear to your reporter, and I'm sure it isn't clear to our listening audience, is this. Why did they not stay safely in Los Angeles?
Well, there were two reasons for that. First, because Captain Bradford was convinced that these scientists are a menace to the world and should be overcome. And second, because the scientists had so many spies and agents in California, all over the world for that matter. It seemed much safer for Mrs. Gregory, Joan, Jerry Hall, and the captain to remain together on a boat rather than to attempt to lead a normal life in this country.
And on this last trip, they reached the island.
We have every reason to believe that they did. In fact, we found their abandoned boat, stripped of everything of value, drifting at the exact location of the island.
Might I ask how you were so sure of the location if the boat was drifting?
The position was correct with that of the island. And it was exactly at that spot the eruption occurred.
Eruption? Volcanic?
Yes. The Magic Island was undoubtedly destroyed by an eruption. It must have been located in the crater of an extinct volcano. Well, that is one that was believed to be extinct.
You saw this eruption?
I'll never forget it. I was on the ship the United States had contributed to help wipe out this island. All around us were the ships of other nations who had joined us. Fully armed and ready to act as a body of international police to wipe out this menace to world safety. Well, there must have been at least 100 witnesses on each boat. And everyone agrees perfectly on what happened. The sensation aboard ship was much the same as that of an earthquake. And the water was thrown violently upward in a shower of fire. The sound of dull explosions was plainly heard as vast caves filled with natural gas must have exploded. And well, there's nothing left. Nothing to mark the spot where the Gregory party landed to pit their knowledge against the scientists of that mad colony.
You're sure then, perfectly sure in your own mind, that this island was completely destroyed?
Anything else would be impossible. And the Gregory party has gone with that island. And I think that's all.
I know how hard it's been for you to tell us this story, Mr. Johnson. You may be sure that everyone listening is deeply sympathetic toward this little party of adventurers. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you have listened to an account of the destruction of the tiny island in the South Pacific, the Magic Island as we've come to know it. And with this item, your reporter concludes this broadcast.
I will now terminate your reception for this time. I trust you have heard and appreciated the story of your destruction. You are lost to the world, and you will remain so.
Chief, that gives me the creeps.
Oh, it wasn't pleasant, Jerry.
To hear ourselves spoken of as being dead.
Well, I don't blame Johnson or anyone else for thinking as they do, but we're very much alive.
I'll say we are. And before we get through with these Euclideans, the whole blame world is...